This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلوات الله وسلامه على نبيه الكريم عليه أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. My brothers and my sisters, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, insha'Allah ta'ala, is Sunday, November the 21st, 2021. And insha'Allah ta'ala will be the last of our essential fiqh class, insha'Allah ta'ala. We've been doing this book for the last, let me see actually, I didn't even check to see how long we've been doing this book for, but we started a long time ago, subhanAllah. It's been a few years. You know what? I made the mistake of not putting the dates when we used to finish our class. And so I couldn't really tell you, but it's been a couple of years now that we've been studying this this book since before COVID. So a good 2 years, inshallah. And today we come to an end of this chapter of studying essential fiqh, inshallah ta'ala. But before we do, we have to go through this last chapter on judicial proceedings, okay? Judicial proceedings. Judicial proceedings are sanctioned, of course, within the Quran, the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there's consensus amongst the scholars of the Deen. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, "Wa anihkum baynahum bima anzal Allah." Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and so judge. Telling the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and so judge, O Muhammad, between them by what Allah has revealed. So judge between the people by what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has revealed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Dawood alayhi salam in Surah Sad, verse number 26, Ya Dawood, inna ja'alnaka khalifatan fil ardi fahkum baynan nasi bil haqq. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells Dawood alayhi salam, O Dawood, verily we have placed you as a successor on earth. So judge between the people. There's a mistake in the translation here. So judge between the people in truth and justice. Okay. Also, Amr ibn al-As radiyallahu anhu narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if a judge or a ruler, if a judge decided a case and strove to determine the correct ruling, then if he were correct, he receives two rewards. And if he strove and was incorrect, he receives just one reward. And so there's benefit in doing this sort of ijtihad, this sort of work in trying to judge between people and trying to help them and assist them in what they're going through. But at the same time, we need to be very careful of possibly doing what could be wrong. And so we stay away from that and we try our best to please Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There's an interesting glare on this side of my head or shade, right? Like a shadow. SubhanAllah. And it just makes my head look weird in the camera and it's just really throwing me off. Alhamdulillah. What is the ruling? Okay. What is the ruling with regards to judicial proceedings? Islamically, it's a communal obligation. The ruler or leader of the land, whoever is in charge, is given the ability to do so, who is given the ability to do so, must appoint judges in the land to judge between the people. And we see that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam judged between the people as the leader of the Muslims. During his time, he also sent Ali radiallahu anhu to judge between the people of Yemen, right? He was a judge for the people of Yemen. And also the Khulafa Rashidun, that came after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Abu Bakr, Uthman, Ali, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum. They also were judges upon the people and they also appointed judges in different lands. OK, Okay, so they also were judges, but appointed judges in certain lands that the Muslims ruled at the time. So it is something that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam took care of and appointed others to look after, like Ali radiallahu anhu being sent to Yemen, and also the Khulafa al-Rashidun, Abu Bakr, Umar, Uthman, and Ali radiallahu anhum, were appointed or were judges, as in they acted or served as the judge of their time, as leaders amongst the people. And they also appointed those who were responsible enough to take this duty in other lands that they were sent to, that the Muslims ruled at the time. What's the benefit? Abdullah ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is no jealousy except with respect to two people. There's no jealousy except with respect to two people. So we're not allowed to be jealous in Islam except two times, right? In two instances or two cases. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, there is no jealousy except with respect to two people. A person whom Allah has given wealth, and he uses it up for the sake of the truth. And a person whom Allah has given wisdom, and he decides by it and acts accordingly. So two times that we're allowed to be jealous, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam says. The first time is when someone is wealthy and uses that wealth for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the sake of promoting goodness and khair of the deen. And we are jealous of them. Jealous in a good sense, not jealous as in evil jealousy and I want destruction for them. No, jealous as in I wish I had the ability to do what they are doing. So when we talk about jealousy in the deen, it's not jealousy from the angle of an evil, conniving sort of feeling where I want you to be destroyed and I don't want you to be recognized for what you do. No. Jealousy as in I wish and desire to be just like that person. And so the first is, as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions, jealousy from the one who is wealthy and uses their wealth in the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the second case is jealousy when we see or recognize a person who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given wisdom to, and that person decides by it and acts accordingly, as in they are given wisdom and they use that wisdom and live by that wisdom accordingly, right? They don't abuse it. Sometimes we see people who we think have wisdom, right? I've noticed this myself. Sometimes we see people who we recognize and we respect them, we look up to them, and we feel that they have wisdom. And then we see that they're doing something differently behind the backs of others, or as soon as they come off the stage. I've heard, and I hate to say this, but I've heard people sometimes in front of others saying one thing and doing something totally different. And this is where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu lima taquluna ma la taf'alun. O you who believe, why is it that you say that which you don't do? Don't say things that you're not going to do. Don't be one person in front of others and be another in front of another group of people. All right. Abu Burda reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi Abu Burayda radiallahu anhu reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, judges are of three categories, three types of judges. One in paradise and two in the hellfire. Okay. This is, of course, Islamically, this is the way we see it. Judges are of two categories. First category of judges, three categories, right? Judges are of three categories. One in paradise, two in the hellfire. As for the one in paradise, it is he who recognizes the truth and judges in accordance with it. So that person recognizes the truth and they judge accordingly. And we can take the example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam with Fatima radiallahu anha, where he says that even if she had done something, he would, you know, place the penalty upon her, as in she would be charged accordingly had she done something wrong. This is the way the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained to the people at his time, that I would be honest and just even with those who are most dear and most beloved to me, right? Like Aisha radiallahu anha, or sorry, Fatima radiallahu anha, his daughter, okay, the daughter of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, once again, judges are of three categories, one in paradise and two in hellfire. As for the one in paradise, it is he who recognizes the truth and judges in accordance with it. As for the one who recognizes the truth but is unjust in his ruling, he is in the hellfire. And the one who judges among the people with ignorance, he is also in the hellfire. So these are the three types of judges. One of them is in paradise, and that is the one who recognizes the truth and judges accordingly, right? Is honest and truthful and trustworthy and judges accordingly. The second one is a person who recognizes the truth but is unjust in his or her ruling. That one is in the hellfire. And the third is the one who judges among the people with ignorance. It's not even, may not even be qualified. Pretends to be someone of high status. Someone who plays, you know that term, fake it till you make it, right? You fake it, you ain't going to make it. You might make it in the dunya, but you won't make it in the hereafter, right? So don't fake it till you make it. Be truthful, be honest, be trustworthy. That is the way of the believer. That is the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's servants, those who submit to Allah azza wa jal. All right, the prohibition of seeking judgment. Should we want to be in these positions of leadership? Should we seek out positions of leadership? Abdurrahman ibn Samura said, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said to me, O Abdurrahman ibn Samura, do not ask for the position of authority. If you are given it due to your request, you will be entrusted with it on your own. If you are given it without asking for it, you will be helped in it. So don't seek positions of high authority thinking that you are able to do it or feeling as though, yeah, I can do it. If that's the case, you'll do it on your own. But if you are appointed, you are chosen, basically, if you're chosen by the people to do this job, this task, and feel that you are worthy of it, when you need help and assistance, the help and assistance will be there. You will be helped in it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you in that position. Now, of course, we're talking about judges, and I'm doing this for the sake of completing this book. As I mentioned earlier, inshallah ta'ala, this will be the last of the essential fiqh classes, inshallah. And then possibly in about 2 weeks, we will restart a new class on Sunday nights. I have something in mind, but if you have any suggestions, feel free to reach out and to message me with regards to the suggestions that you might have for this class. I do have something in mind, but hey, I'm always open for suggestions, inshallah ta'ala. Of course, a judge needs to have good etiquette. I'm not going to go through all of that because, you know, we're teaching etiquettes and we know that it's important for judges to have that, you know, set of manners and good morals and values. It is forbidden for a judge to accept bribes or gifts. So if you're put in a position, and remember, it's not just a judge. Maybe someone comes to you, two people come to you to help them in a dispute or help them in something they're going through in life. They might be arguing amongst themselves or some sort of dispute between them. And, you know, they come to you to seek advice. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us to tell them what is right for them and don't just tell them what they want to hear. Tell them what they need to hear, not what they want to hear. And so it is forbidden for a judge to accept bribes or gifts. Abdullah ibn Amr narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the curse of Allah is upon the one who gives a bribe and the one who takes a bribe. I'll say that again. The curse of Allah is upon the one who takes a bribe and the one who gives a bribe and the one who takes a bribe, not a bride. It's been a long Sunday. SubhanAllah. Abu Humaid As-Sa'idi narrated that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, gifts for the state employees is theft. Gifts for the state employees is theft, as in they are not allowed to receive that. They should not take anything that may change their judgment, change the way they do things. Okay, don't receive gifts from the people where you may, you know, start to do things differently because of that person or those people and who they are and what they've given you. It is forbidden to give a judgment while angered. Abdul Malik ibn Umar said that he heard Abdurrahman ibn Abi Bakr say, Abu Bakr wrote to his son, who was in Sijistan, saying, you should not judge between two people while you are angered, for I have heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, a judge should not decide between two people while he is angered. A judge should not decide between two people while he is angered. And the last thing that we'll look at, inshallah ta'ala, is the sin of one who claims something that does not belong to him. Abu Dharr, radiallahu anh, narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, say, whoever claims something that does not belong to him is not from amongst us, and he shall take his own seat in the hellfire. Abu Dharr radiallahu anhu narrated that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam say, whoever claims something that does not belong to him is not from us, and he shall take his own seat in the hellfire. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect every single one of us and bless us with goodness and khair and barakah. That brings us to the end of an over 2-year journey going through this book. Can you imagine? Over 2 years of studying this book together on Sunday nights. Subhanallah. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from every single one of us, grant us goodness and khair and barakah, forgive us of our shortcomings, put ease and tranquility in our minds and in our hearts. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fill our days with nur and fill our nights with nur and bless us with the strength and ability to continue to learn his deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase us in knowledge, and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have mercy upon every single one of us and grant us complete and full forgiveness for our efforts and our sacrifices and our time and our patience in seeking out the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal. Ameen. So once again, that brings us to the end of our, I would say, over 2 years, it's about almost 2.5 year journey of going through the chapters of Essential Fiqh. And I'm open for suggestions. I'm open for, any sort of advice that you might have. Forgive me, I'm a little bit out of energy today. It's been a long week, and it's been a long day as well. And so any suggestions, any questions anyone has, feel free to, chime in. If anyone wants to share something, please feel free to do so. It's nice to not be the only one always speaking to himself, because you see me, so you are someone else who's looking at the screen, but I see me, so that's me, and this is me, and that's me, and that's me, and I'm me everywhere. Alhamdulillah. So can we do tafsir of a surah? I was doing tafsir for a number of years on Friday nights, and we switched from tafsir to the etiquettes, right? Kitab al-adab on Friday nights, we do etiquettes, right? So tafsir, okay, that's one option. Alhamdulillah. We could do a more in-depth tafsir class. That's always something that we could do. Any other suggestions? Anushe just joined. Anushe, we're asking for any suggestions. We've completed our essential fiqh class, which we've been doing for over 2 years, almost 2.5 years. Alhamdulillah, we finally completed the book. And so if there's any suggestions that you have, I know Anushe is one of our community members, one of our core community members who not only herself, but her whole family is involved, alhamdulillah. So any suggestions that come from anyone, we will accept. And yeah, so can we do usul class? Usul. Usul al-deen. We could do usul al-deen. Are you referring to usul al-deen or usul al-fiqh? Or usul al-hadith? Or usul al-tafsir? Which usul are you referring to? Ameen, Idris Bhai, Ameen. Jazakallah khairan for the class of 2 years. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us with the ability to implement what we've learned. Usul al-fiqh. Usul al-fiqh is not a class that you just, you know, you need to learn. It comes, usul al-fiqh is, mashallah, tabarakallah, right? You know, the scholars talk about usul al-fiqh as one of the most challenging, most difficult subjects to study. It isn't easy, and it isn't something that everyone in the community is going to grasp. That doesn't mean that we should not teach it, but I don't think this is the platform for that, right? Tafsir is a good suggestion. Then if you want to learn usul al-deen, I was thinking, you know, my degree is in usul al-deen, da'wah and usul al-deen. And I was thinking to teach the principles of faith. Principles of faith. So like a faith 101, where we go through topics of iman and kufr and shirk. What is considered right upon the deen? What crosses the line? What is, tawheed? And what isn't, you know, understanding Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala more. Knowing what we are allowed to do, knowing what we are not allowed to do in terms of ibadah, in terms of dua, in terms of how we submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I think, and this is what I was leaning towards doing and will most likely do, even though I'm accepting all of your advice. I strongly feel that we need to learn more usul al-deen, the foundations of our deen, right? That's something that's very important for us to learn. Usul fiqh class is going on with Sheikh Osama already on Thursday nights. Alhamdulillah. I haven't seen that televised or broadcasted or anything, but if it is, it is. Alhamdulillah. No worries there. So who feels like we should learn usul al-deen? For those who don't know, what usul al-deen is basically the fundamental principles of our deen and taking actual examples of what is halal and what is haram, what we are allowed to do, what we are forbidden to do with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right? Good. Alhamdulillah, Rida thinks that's good. Anusha says, Salamu alaykum and waves. That's a great suggestion. Salamu alaykum. Okay, you're in with usul al-deen. Very good, alhamdulillah. I think too many of it. Seerah. We should start a seerah class as well, but not on Sunday nights. Not on Sunday nights, inshallah. Okay, so maybe we will start a seerah class as well. Maybe seerah will be after Fajr. No, let's not do the after Fajr classes. That's just too much. Days are so long from early morning till late night. And you guys like expect us to be full of energy and like jumping off the walls and stuff. Seerah of the Sahaba. Okay. So that's a good suggestion. Very good. Alhamdulillah. I have two books on my desk about the biographies or the, like the seerah of some of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum that I was going to turn into a mini series. Maybe we will do that, inshallah. I'll look into that as well. But I'm leaning more towards a Sunday night being the class that we usually do for adults. Keep in mind that the class on Sunday nights is usually for adults. And so I usually like to keep it at a little bit more of a higher level of understanding where we can go through things and be very frank and very open. And learn some things about that, inshallah ta'ala. Suggest books about Umar radiallahu anhu. The actual series, the video series titled Umar is a very good series to go through, Rida. I would suggest that you watch that if you haven't already. That's a very good series and was put together very, very well, alhamdulillah. And I enjoy, I've gone through the series, I think, 2 times already with the entire family, and it's a very good series, alhamdulillah. Yeah, it's high-level Arabic as well. But you can get it with the subtitles in English. All right, that brings us to the end of our class. Jazakumullahu khairan. I will send out a message on social media, on my WhatsApp, on my Instagram and on my Facebook, and inshallah, hopefully on YouTube as well, to let you all know of the new class and when we're going to be starting it. So keep an eye out for that, inshallah ta'ala. We'll try to keep the timing the same. I'll try to keep the timing the same to after or on a Sunday evening, inshallah. And yeah, we'll take it from there. All right. Jazakumullahu khairan, barakallahu fikum. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept from the class. To teach something for over 2.5 years is like a huge milestone. So please make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our efforts. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum.